Okay, this is the most exciting part of the service, I promise you. So kids, grab your Bibles with an adult who's next to you and turn to page 852. Do it now. Go, 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 go. 852. How are we doing? 852. Now, you need to find the big number 10. Big number 10. Okay? Now, it's quite a long passage, but if you listen really hard, can you try and work out what Jesus Christ has done for us? And if you're not excited by this, we've got problems. Here we go. Okay, let's start reading at chapter 10. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can... Oh, Phoebe, you've made it wobble. Stop. It can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshippers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. You went with burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. Then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll, I have come to do your will, O God.' First he said, 'Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made.' Then he said, 'Here I am. I have come to do your will.' He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy." Brilliant. Well done, everyone.
Very well done, Louise. Now, I'd like help at the front. Anybody who'd like to be involved, I've got things I need people to do. Come and sit down at the front in front of me. I need children sitting down in front of me, please. And as you come up, no, face me, face me. Everyone needs to face me. Go back a bit, too close. Back a bit. Okay, who thinks they're good at something? Who thinks they're good at being generous or good at being kind? There's a few hands up. Who thinks they're good at obeying and respecting their parents? Oh dear. Well, we're not just talking about being good today. We're talking about being perfect. Now, if you're perfect at something, you would be the best. You'd never do anything wrong. What's wrong? My mic isn't on. Right, it is on now. Being perfect. If you're perfect at something, you'd never do anything wrong. In fact, you'd never have ever done anything wrong. That would be being perfect. Now, people have tried lots of different ways at getting better at things, like maybe you've got better at riding a bike. Who can ride a bike now? You can. Now, you did that by practicing. You rode and rode and rode, and sometimes you fell off, and then you got better and you didn't fall off so much, and then you went on the road, and then you learned to do hand signals, and then stopping at traffic lights, that's important. And you're now much better by practicing riding your bike. Well, some people get better by practicing. Some people get better at things by spending money. Who's got some collections of cards? Who's got Match Attack cards? Ah, yes, look. There's a few people who've got Match Attack cards down here. Now, we went on the web, and we found out you can buy some of the best cards for 33p each. Sorry. 35p each, we now know. 37. Have you bought some? You can get better collections of Match Attack cards by spending lots of money. And if you bought the whole lot, it would cost you £500. That's quite a lot of them. Now, there's something that no amount of practice and no amount of money can make you better at, or can make anything else better at, let alone perfect. And the thing we're thinking about today is the hardest thing in the world. It's being perfect for God. Okay, here is a perfect orange. There's some nice oranges up there. Perfect oranges. Nothing wrong with it. Nice and clean. Hasn't gone moldy yet. But if I left it sitting on my windowsill for too long, it would end up looking a bit like that. It'd go moldy. And that would be really sad. Here is a perfect notebook. Perfect. Brand new, nothing written in it, very clean, absolutely perfect. Now, my orange could go moldy, or I could scribble on my notebook in lots of places, and I could make it not perfect anymore. And after I'd done that, well, do you think if my orange had gone mouldy, if I rubbed it a bit, I could get the mould off? Or maybe if I just turned it round, it would be perfect. Or maybe with my notebook, if I tore out the bad page, now it's nearly perfect, isn't it? Is it? No, it's not. You see, because there's still a scribble there and there's still a scribble on the front, so it's not perfect anymore. Well, I've got to tell you that the Bible bit we're looking at this morning talks about not an orange or a notebook, but about each and every human being, every single one of us. And you know what it says? It tells us we are dirty. There's a dirty boy. Have any of you been that dirty before? Why? All my children have got their hands up. And Andrew, good. Well, there's dirty. Now, what that boy is, he's dirty on the outside. And the Bible tells us that there was an old way of making people clean, and there was a new way of making people clean. Now, this boy is dirty. He's dirty on the outside. But in what we are is dirty not just on the outside, like doing nasty, selfish things, or disobeying your parents, or wanting to be first all the time. The Bible tells us we're dirty on the inside. We've got dirty hearts. Our hearts are dirty. We don't want God to be in charge. We want to be in charge. That's what makes us dirty on the inside. So here's an example. I know someone who loves trains. And it's not bad to love trains. And I know somebody else who loves cooking and makes fairy cakes a lot. And I know somebody else, in fact, I know a lot of people who love football. Love football. Now, it's not bad to love things, but what God says is, no, you mustn't love anything else more than me. And we say to God, I don't like that. I want to decide what I love more than you telling me. And that is what makes us dirty on the inside. And what God says is, I won't have anybody who loves anything else more than me, football, cakes, trains, I won't have anyone like that come anywhere near me. That's yuck. That's what he says. Now, last week, the children thought about the way that God sees dirt in our lives. Who can remember that? I'll tell you it. God hates sin. Have you ever stepped in dog poo? And when you step in dog poo and it gets on the bottom of your shoe and goes in the crack bits, you start off by smelling something nasty, and then you realize it's coming round with you the whole time, and then you realize it's on your shoe and it's really horrid. Who's done that? Well, God looks at us saying we want to be in charge, and he says, that's like this. It is yuck, and I won't have you come anywhere near me like that. Now, getting dog poo off our shoes is hard. You get a stick and you have to scrape it off, and then you get a scrubbing brush, and it's yuck. But getting rid of sin is even harder. Who knows about the old way to deal with sin? Well, okay, well done. Two of you do. Some people hear that we're bad and yucky, and they say, no, we're not. I'm nice. I'm kind. I'm not that bad. But other people go, actually, yes, I'm not very nice. I don't tell my parents the truth all the time, and I'm selfish, and then sometimes I'm unkind. I know I'm bad, and I need help. That's what they say. Now, the old way that God gets us cleaned up was a good way, and it got most of the muck off us. We need to think about that before we think of the new way. Okay, here's the old way. The old way is like this. What's that a picture of? It's a sheep. What's happened to his legs? They are all tied up. Now, that sheep is heading for sacrifice. What happens is, the priest, you get your sheep, if you were bad or guilty, and you take it to the priest at the temple, and he'd sadly get a knife, and he'd cut its throat, he'd kill it, and he'd collect the blood in a bowl, and then he'd get a branch, and he'd dip it in the blood, and then we'd do this. Who felt a bit of blood going on them just then? It's not very nice. If actually it's only water, it's not blood, it's all right. But can you imagine if you'd been there and your lamb had died and its blood had been collected in a bowl and the priest had got a branch and he'd sprinkled you with little bits of blood and there on your clothes was little red spots? It'd be quite horrid, wouldn't it? But there'd be something very special going on. Something very special going on. It would show you that God had given you a way to be clean on the outside from your sin. It would show you that what you deserve to be killed had happened to someone else. No, not a person, an animal. An animal would have died instead of you. There's a way that you can be clean. Now, doing sacrifices was the old way of getting people clean. A punishment's been paid, but there was a problem because people would go home at the end of the day after church and they'd still feel bad about the things they'd done. They'd know they'd been forgiven, but they'd still feel bad. There's somebody who looks a bit sorry for something he's done. Do you think he looks a bit guilty? Do you think he's done something naughty? Maybe he's chewed a shoe. Or slept in your bed. I found another picture and I couldn't resist it. And there's another one. Now, I don't know that dogs actually feel guilty, but I know I do. Do you sometimes feel guilty? Do you feel bad for the things you've done wrong? You do. Well, that's right, we do. And we want to know how to stop feeling guilty. We need a new way to stop feeling guilty. Because the same sacrifices of those sheep done year after year were never able to make people perfect. If they were able to make people perfect, verse 2, then they wouldn't have had to keep coming back. But they did. Every year they had to keep coming back, and their sheep had to die every year. What the Bible says is that what the sacrifices actually did was make it worse. Because they'd see their dead sheep and they'd think, I'm still guilty. I've had to come back. They remind me of my sin. You see, it's impossible, verse 4, for the blood of bulls and goats and animals to take away sins. That's what we needed. That's what they needed. We need someone to actually take away our sin. Well, feeling guilty is not very nice. When we've done something wrong and we know it and we can't put it right, we feel bad. We feel bad because we know we've hurt someone else or broken something and it's our fault. We wish we could stop feeling guilty. Well, there's good news. That's where Jesus comes in. That is what Christ did when he came into the world. He did lots of amazing things. Who can tell me some of the amazing things God did? Jesus did when he came into the world. Some of the amazing things we did while he was alive. What? He changed water into wine. That was clever. What did he do? He made people well, Joshua. Yeah, sick people, he'd just say, stand up, and they'd be better. Yep, he helped people who were sick. What else did he do? Well, he never did anything wrong. He was never rude. He never disobeyed his parents. He always did what God wanted. And he's the only person who's ever done that. That's what verses 5 to 7 in our passage is about. When Christ came, he was the body that God had prepared for us. He said, I've come to do your will. Think of that sheep. When it was taken on its rope to the temple, do you think it would have been happy to go? Do you think it would have been pulling against it and saying, I don't want to go? It wouldn't have wanted to go to be killed. It could probably smell other animals that had been killed and it didn't like it. Did Jesus have to be dragged to his own death? He went willingly, didn't he? That's different. That's different to any animal. He went willingly. By his one sacrifice, he's made us perfect. Now, what I need is two people, Chloe and Ollie. Can you sit at the desk for me? I need a little quick demonstration here. This is going to show the difference between an animal and Jesus. Imagine these two children are at school and they've been naughty. They've passed notes to each other and they've been talking while the teacher's teaching. Look guilty. Whisper to each other. Right, that's it, you two. You can both have a detention. So they're both having to do a detention because they're both guilty. They've been naughty. They've got to stay in at break time. Now imagine if Chloe said this to me. Can someone else do your detention for you? She'll never find anyone. Would you do her detention for her? No. Okay, yeah, you can, if you can find someone. Who's Harry? Who's Harry? Harry? Who's he? Harriet the hamster. Would Harriet the hamster be good enough to do her detention for her? No, she's a hamster, not a person. Harry will not do. She's only an animal. Not good enough.
Dave?
Who's Dave?
Dave's my bull terrier.
Dave, who's in detention with you at the same time for doing the same thing you did? No, because he's already guilty. He can't do your detention either. You can't have an animal and you can't have someone who's already guilty. You need someone who's another human being, another pupil like you, who's not done anything wrong. Is there anybody who could do her detention? Is there anybody who could do our detention in front of God? Needs to be a human and needs to have never done anything wrong. Could you? Hands up if you know who. William. Only Jesus could do our detention. Thank you, you two. You can come sit down. It can't be someone who's already guilty, and it's the same for us. Remember my orange and my notebook. In fact, it's already got a bit of a funny mark on it here, so it's not perfect already. And my notebook's got scribbles on it. And I can't make these perfect, but God can make you perfect. Did you know that? He can make you perfect. And he does it by the new way. The new way was Jesus going to die on a cross for you. He was the lamb whose blood was shed so that you could be forgiven. That's what we're learning about this morning. Isn't it amazing? Now then, I asked at the start, who thinks they are good at being kind and good and generous? And a few of you thought you were a little bit. And I then said, is any of you perfect? And none of you put your hands up. But look at the last verse, grown-ups. Let me read it to you. Verse 14. By one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever his people. Jesus makes people perfect. That's a guilty person. And what Jesus says, you're not guilty anymore, but perfect. Isn't that amazing? Now, I want to tell you one little last story to finish. It's a story of Willie Holt. He was a young boy about 100 years ago who was in the army. Well, he wasn't really in the army because he was too young, but he was only about 8. But his mum and dad had been killed, so he was an orphan. And he was with all these big, roughy-tufty soldiers. And there was one really bad group of soldiers, and they lived in this one big tent. And they had their little boy mascot, and he went to live with them because they let him live with them. But these bad soldiers got into trouble one day, although nobody knew it was them. What happened was they went out to the practice ground and they smashed down the targets because they didn't want to do any practices. And the colonel found out that the targets had been smashed. And so he got his whole battalion in front of him, and there were 500 people there. And he said, somebody smashed the targets. Who was it? And nobody moved. And so he said, I'm going to have to do an investigation. And he sent them all away, and he came back in the afternoon, and he said, I found out that it was someone in this tent who has smashed the targets. And he got those men, 12 of them, and little Willie Holt, who was with them, he was only 8, and he got them all standing in a line in front of him, and he said, someone in this group has smashed the targets. If you'll stand up and be counted and take your punishment, the rest of you can go free. And nobody moved. And he said it again, if one of you will take the punishment, the rest can go free. And little Willie Holt, standing in line with everybody else, he stepped forward and he said, Colonel, I'll take the punishment. And the colonel looked at all the other men and said, you men know it wasn't this boy. One of you is guilty. And the little boy said, Willie Holt said, Colonel, you've given your word. If one of us will take the punishment, the rest can go free. And so sadly, the colonel took the boy and he tied him to a fence post and he was whipped 30 times. He was only 8, and he was in very, very bad way. They took him down, they took him to hospital. And in hospital that night, the colonel went to see Willie, and he was in real pain, and he was bleeding all over his back. And right next to him was John Grant, the worst man in the regiment. And he was kneeling next to Willie's bed. And he was asking, Willie, why did you do that? I was guilty. I did it. You shouldn't have taken the punishment. And little Willie Holt, who was only 8, said, John, I did that so that you would know what Jesus has done for you. I did a little tiny thing, but Jesus has taken your punishment so that you can be made perfect. Willie Holt died the next day, but John Grant was a changed man. He trusted in Jesus. Now, I've shown you what Jesus has done, the new way of making you clean by dying on a cross. And I want you to remember what he's done for you. Maybe you'll remember the picture of the dog with the sad eyes, feeling guilty. Maybe you'll remember me sprinkling you with an animal's blood. Only water. Maybe you'll remember that Jesus died so that your messed up record of your life, all the scribbles on it, could be made perfect again. And I hope you'll talk about it with your mum and dad over lunch, and maybe for the rest of the week. You're not guilty, you're made perfect, and you can trust in Jesus. Now, there's the last two questions I want to ask you. They're here. These are the questions I want you to think about, and I'll put them up on the screen while we're having a cup of coffee afterwards so you can think about them. Will you admit you're not perfect and you need someone, you need Jesus to clean you up? And will you trust him and start to live a new, clean life? That's the question. I'd love you to talk about that afterwards. I'm going to pray. Let's sit really quietly, and then I'd like you to go and sit back with your mums and dads. Let me pray. Lord God, we know we're not perfect and we do bad things. And we know we need cleaning up on the outside and the inside. And we thank you that you sent Jesus to be our sacrifice so that we could be made clean. Please help us to believe that and to live a new, clean life. Amen.